Assalamu alaikum. Hi everyone. Welcome back to this Muslim Girl podcast. It's been quite a while since we last connected. A very long while, and I'm so thrilled to be back with all of you. I've missed having conversations on this platform and the sense of community when I was posting regularly and checking like social media and getting to engage with people who listen to the podcast. Alhamdulillah, I hope you're all doing well. And despite everything that's going on, I hope everyone is holding it together as much as we possibly can. First, apologies for this extended absence. And to be honest, I don't think there's going to be any sort of consistency coming after this. It's just I wanted to say something before Ramadan, but life has its way of throwing unexpected curveballs, and I just found myself navigating through like a whole bunch of personal and professional things going on. I think I do a lot of things to keep myself busy, and it's not the best coping mechanism for when I am overwhelmed, which I think is funny because I overwhelm myself when I'm overwhelmed. Make it make sense, right? But I knew I had to make a return before Ramadan to reconnect with all my listeners, but also to share some thoughts. I just feel like so much has happened in the past couple of months, and it's been difficult for everyone. I see everyone going through it, and yeah, it's definitely something that has been heavy on my mind lately. I think it's heavy on everyone's mind. I don't know anyone that is okay. It's obviously impossible to ignore the heartbreaking situation unfolding in Gaza. Obviously, there's things happening around the world in Yemen and Syria and Congo and Lebanon and beyond. It's such an unfortunate situation, an unfortunate time that we are in. The images and the stories coming out of Gaza is just so heartbreaking. I feel like words don't reach the level of pain that we are feeling. There's no words for the innocent lives that are lost, for the families that are torn apart, for the displacement of a people who have been displaced time after time, the unimaginable suffering endured by them, the fact that they're out there, documenting their own genocide, and yet we are here today and it's still continuing. So inshallah, we pray for peace, we pray for relief and justice for everyone that is affected by that conflict, and may we see a better time. I feel like, personally, I've noticed that during this turmoil, despite the darkness and despair, this horrific event has brought, like, I feel like the community of Muslims and Arabs together stronger than before. I feel like it has strengthened like our sense of identity and community. Personally, I've never felt more proud to be Muslim in the aftermath of 9/11. It was a scary time to speak up as a Muslim, and I was young at that time. I was in sixth grade, and so I didn't even know what my identity was. I didn't even have time to explore it as of yet. And then something like that happened, and I think it really shaped the way that I lived my teenage years and explored my identity. It was like I had to suppress so much of it because we feared being judged, labeled as terrorists or terrorist sympathizers. But today, in the face of this blatant injustice, we see who the true terrorists are. And they don't look like me. They don't look like my dad. They don't look like my brothers. What I think is funny is that there's this belief that when the West enters the Muslim world, right, like the Middle East, that they're there to help shape the people to remove radical thought, to take away quote unquote Islamic extremism, to move people further away from their deen. And I think that what we are seeing now is quite the opposite. We are coming back to the true sense or essence of our deen. Not the deen, not the religion, the extreme religion that they have depicted and that they have stigmatized, which I think put a lot of fear in people to embrace their religion or, you know, to become more religious or to be more outwardly Muslim because they were afraid of that stigma. But the opposite is happening. People are embracing Islam. Muslims are becoming more Muslim. I'm seeing women online wearing the hijab, proudly wearing the hijab, putting it on. I see people who are not Muslim converting or reverting back to Islam, alhamdulillah. I think that that's beautiful because, bilaks, the opposite of what they wanted to happen, they wanted to water down our deen, they wanted us to whitewash our culture, and it's the opposite. We are embracing our culture, we're embracing our native tongue, we're embracing our religion. And I think we're also reclaiming what it means to be a Muslim. We're not confined to what makes people around us comfortable. We are a religion of peace, and we are a people who love community, who love to help others. And there are so many beautiful things about our deen, and it's just sad that we've had to suppress it for so long because it could be misconstrued, and then, you know, we get labeled and we don't care now because we obviously see that they do not care about us. They do not care about us. And I think it was an awakening. And yeah, it's an interesting time that we're living through, as I mentioned, like someone growing up post 9/11 through, you know, the Iraq War, and just seeing how insecure I was growing up to be Muslim, and how I was, and how I am today, and how inspired I am by younger people. Like, you know, social media, for all the bad that it does have, I've also seen a lot of good, in which I see, you know, both boys and girls in their early teenage years and then, you know, early adult years, just being so unapologetically Muslim or Arab, or both. And it's just like, what a time, right? Like, I couldn't have ever imagined that when I was young. And to see it now, it honestly fills my heart up with joy. And so it's something that I think is really good. It's a blessing, and I'm very proud of anyone who has chosen to like lean into that, lean into their deen, lean into their culture, and be unapologetic. I also think that we have a sense of responsibility because we come from a place of privilege, you know, wherever we are, whatever our circumstances are, we are in a privileged situation where we can speak up, and we should speak up and do what we can. It reminds me of this hadith that says, whoever among you sees an evil, let him change it with his hand if he's unable to do so with his tongue, if he's unable to do so with his heart, and that is the weakest level of faith. So keep spreading awareness, keep doing what you are doing, continue to boycott, continue to, you know, protest, continue to reach out to your representatives, make sure that you're going to vote so that you can make your voices heard, because all of those things matter. You know, the US and the UK and the other countries that are supporting Israel, they're only going to continue to do so because they can. And until they feel the pressure of our community as a whole, it is up to us that we continue to put that pressure on them until they change. And that might take a really long time, but we will continue to do so. So as we approach the blessed month of Ramadan, which is right around the corner, and as much as I feel like we all need this spiritual revival and the essence of Ramadan and the spirit of Ramadan, it's also a time where we need to keep our du'as on our brothers and sisters, you know, around the world who are suffering, and pray that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides them relief and justice and peace. I think this Ramadan is definitely going to be a difficult one for many of us. I know I'm very anxious about it. I look forward to it, but I'm also anxious. But, it is a time to deepen our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to seek forgiveness and to strive for self-improvement. So I wanted to share a few tips. They honestly are nothing special. There's nothing great, groundbreaking here, but it's just, I think there's something about, prepping yourself for Ramadan that just feels so nice, and it just gets you motivated for the month. So the first thing that I'm doing is setting my intentions, because obviously I think that's the most important. So taking time to reflect on like what I want to achieve during this month, set my intentions with like deep sincerity. I want to be like very clear about what I want, and then I think that's going to help me make the commitment to that like spiritual growth, which looks different for different people, but I have things that I would like to grow on. Another thing is I'm really looking at my work calendar to think of or establish like a Ramadan routine. So understanding how I want to, make my prayers when I'm not home, inshallah, how I'm going to fit Quran recitation during the day, figuring out like the places I want to donate to, which, to be honest, I'll do a little plug. The where I feel most comfortable, where I do most of my donations, is through Pious Projects, and it's because it's an organization that I've worked with before. It's an organization where I know someone who works there and that I trust, and so they usually do like a Ramadan challenge where you can sign up and you can put a certain amount that you would like to donate every single day, and it just automatically does it for you. And I know that they're not the only ones that do that, but it's the organization that I trust and that I've, used and have donated to for years. But just basically having a structured schedule a little bit just to help me stay focused during that month and know, what times I'll have available to do certain things. I know in the beginning of the month I'm going to be very busy that first week, but inshallah after that things should wind down a little bit. The next thing is one of my favorite things, or I would say one of the most life-changing things that I have worked on in the past couple of years, which is practicing gratitude. Taking a moment each day on my drive, when I wake up, before I go to sleep, to express gratitude for like the blessings in my life. I go through so many things just like everyone else, and I think sometimes it's very difficult to see where the light is or find the positivity in life, because it feels like sometimes when it rains, it pours. But I feel like because I've built a habit of practicing gratitude, it has helped me kind of regulate my emotions so I don't put myself in a really, dark place where it feels like everything around me is crumbling. So cultivating a mindset of gratitude can help me and can help you appreciate that, like, abundance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's blessings even during the difficult times. I'm reminded by the ayah in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "La'in shakurtum la'azidannakum," which translates to, "If you are grateful, I will surely increase you." And this ayah obviously emphasizes the importance of gratitude, which, is something I think in like Western behavioral health is really highlighted. And of course, we can find it within our deen, the importance of gratitude and the fundamental aspect of like is a fundamental aspect of our faith. By expressing gratitude, it's us acknowledging Allah's kindness and generosity, and in return, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises to bestow even more blessings on us. And so for me, it's just a reminder that I need to really cultivate that attitude of gratitude in my life. Again, especially in challenging times, because it opens up the doors to even more blessings. And it is such a reassuring promise from Allah Azza wa Jal, and I think it's just such a beautiful thing, alhamdulillah. The next thing is maybe to be a little bit more involved in the community. I feel like since COVID, I haven't officially went back to like pre-COVID Ramadans of like staying connected, like being with my Muslim community. I would like to see myself try more, making it to Tarawih and going to in-person lectures, because I spend most of my time listening to online lectures, which is great, and I love online lectures, but I think that I'd like to just, go more in person. And that's the other thing, is like I'm looking and kind of researching what's being put out there by different like Islamic institutions, to see what I would want to follow. A lot of them are putting out programs for Ramadan, so I have a few in mind. I think I'm gonna go with the one from Yaqeen Institute. Yeah, I haven't decided yet. I also want to try to have some goals around self-care. It's not gonna be my biggest priority to like physically work out, but I would like to incorporate something light, even if it's taking a walk or, I don't know, stretching. But I feel like for me in Ramadan, I don't move as much, and it's not because I want to, do it for aesthetic reasons. It's really just for mental health as well, and relaxations. But I just want to make sure I'm still moving my body as it's going through the changes of like the fasting. And then of course just my du'as. I like to write my du'as out, because I feel like I have so many of them for so many people, and so I don't know, it's just nice to have them there, and then I can remember what it is I want to make du'a for, and that I don't forget, anyone who's near and dear to me, or for anything that I would like to ask God for. So yeah, I think that's it. Again, I just want to thank anyone who's listening to this after such a long hiatus. If you've made it this far, and for your continued support of this Muslim Girl podcast. And I want to just make a final prayer for those who are suffering in Gaza and around the world. But I just want to pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants them peace, grants them relief and justice. But yeah, until next time, whenever next time is, I hope everyone has a beautiful Ramadan. I hope you stay safe, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue to bless you all abundantly. And that's it.